The word of Isaiah, chapter 53. What a joy it is to be here this morning. And you know, we don't understand why a lot of times things come and go. I know probably Brother Melvin would rather be under that tent. We don't understand all of it, but I heard a little illustration. You might have heard it, but they said this little boy was in the candy store. They said he was admiring a big old jar of candy, and the owner come by and told him, said, "Son, just reach in there, get you a handful, and you can have it." Well, that little boy just stood there and looking. The owner come by again and told him the same thing. Well, the third time, the owner come by and said, "Well, I'll just get it for you." And he reached in, grabbed a big old hand of candy and put it in a sack. And the little boy's mother, when he got outside, said, "Son, you love that candy. I don't understand. Why didn't you get it when the owner told you to get it?" He said, "Well, I got looking at my hand, then I got looking at his hand. I saw his hand was bigger than my hand. And so I just thought if I wait long enough, I'll get more. Well, I'm glad the Lord said that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And even though we don't understand everything, I know that God is in control. Amen. Would you stand with us, please, for the reading and the reverence of God's precious Lord's holy word. I left early this morning. I've already been two places, done two jobs, but I've forgotten my glasses. Hope my arms is long enough. I'll read this morning Isaiah 53 verses 1 through verse number 7. And the Lord said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he has grown up before him as a tender plant, before him as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, as he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all," not a few, "but us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth." Our Father, now Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. I thank you for what we've already heard. I thank you, dear Father, for the wonderful meeting, the Word of God, for this church, for Brother Melvin. I thank you, Father, that there are still places, Father, that loves preachers, and Father, that'll bring us in to where that we might rub shoulders with each other. And Father, we can find health and strength. As one said the other day, we need each other. And I thank you for that. Now, Father, bless us now. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you might be seated. Now, in these verses, I see several things, and I'll bring down to where I hope God would have us to preach this morning. First of all, I'm glad that I see the Redeemer. Amen. I'm glad in these verses, I see the Redeemer. I see Jesus as our Lamb. I'm glad this morning that I'm not serving man or religion. I'm not serving the Baptist. I'm serving Jesus. I'm glad he's the one that saved me by his wonderful grace. And I see in these verses, I see the Redeemer. I see Jesus, our wonderful Lamb. I see in these verses the rejection that all forsook him. Well, the disciples turned their back upon him. And even his father, when he looked up to heaven, he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
I see in these verses the relenting punishment. As they abused our wonderful Lord, they beat him until he was unrecognizable. There's a song that said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that's wonderful. But I believe more than his mind, I was on his heart. And Jesus loved me so much until the burden become so great, until his heart melted out. Likewise, the psalmist said, and I see the relenting punishment, but then I see the righteousness of God. Only Jesus could pay my sin debt. I thought of Brother Doug Beard the other day. If you've never seen him with that little grand boy, you've never seen a granddaddy. Boy, he'll preach and he'll get that grand boy and walk around all over the place. I used to laugh at him until I got me a little grand girl. Boy, listen, I'll tell you something. We was at the mall the other day. I've got three old ugly boys, and I'm glad that God's given me some girls. They're expecting another one. It's a girl too. I'm happy. Well, I was at the mall the other day, and that little old girl reached up and said, "Grandpa, would you hold me?" I said, "Would I?" I reached down and grabbed her. She kissed me on the cheek and placed her face and nuzzled it in my neck. And she said, "I sure do love you." Listen, I got my billfold out and I said, "Honey, just get anything you want. You can just have it." I want to tell you, sometimes I get in the lap of God by faith. I tell him how much I love him. I let him know that I adore his wonderful name. He looks over to the angels and said, "Roll back the windows of heaven. Whatever vermin wants, just give him." Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is righteous. He's God. But then in these verses, I see the remedy for man. The remedy for man. Jesus said, "By his stripes, we are healed." I know there's a physical aspect to that, but I believe primarily Jesus was saying that he is the Lamb of God, and by the blood that shed on Calvary comes the remission of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And after reading all of this and seeing this in these verses, I want to preach to you this morning on I can't believe that he loved me this much. I just can't believe that Jesus loved me this much. I'm a fortunate person. My mother and daddy loved me. Boy, they loved me with all that's within them. I've got a precious wife. I want to tell you, fellas, we ought to thank God for our wives. Amen. Well, I thank the Lord for Tracy. She loves me, dear friend, with a love I believe that's undying. I'm looking to have three boys that loves me. The oldest one's 25, the next one's 22, and the youngest one is 20. Boy, they never come to the house and leave until they kiss their daddy on the cheek. If they don't, I'll chase them down and I'll get my sugar. But I want to tell you something. There's somebody that loves me more than mother does. There's somebody that loves me more than daddy does. There's somebody that loves me more than my wife does. There's somebody that loves me more than my boys does. There's somebody that loves me whether I'm up or down, out or in, right or wrong, good or bad. There's a God in heaven, and I'm glad he said that he loves me. I just can't believe that Jesus loved me this much. I just can't believe it. First of all, this morning, I want to say he loves me divinely. In John chapter 3, verse 16, I read that Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I read the Lord said, he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I'm glad glad that Jesus, I'm glad that he loves me divinely. He loves me like nobody could ever love me. He has a divine love. I'm glad his divine love is that he gave his divine son. The only son that he had, Jesus gave him to die on the cross to where that I might go free. Someone said one time, they said, Brother Vernon, you dwell in the love of God too much. I want to tell you, I live in a world of hate. I live in the world that hates the people of God. I live in the world, and it's even got to where that it's even a battle in a lot of churches. I want to tell you something this morning. I'm glad that I can dwell and can bask in the love of God. He's got a divine love because he sent a divine son that did not know sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God that hung on the cross of Calvary. There were all of us might go free. There's a divine gift. He gave his own son. He gave his only son. But then there's a divine gift that we have forgiveness of all of our sins. Now let me tell you something. I know the devil has access to the throne of God. I don't understand all that, but he does. And he accuses us every single day. But when he gets to me, and sometimes somebody said he falsely accuses me, sometimes he tells the truth on me. And Jesus will go to the filing cabinet and get my file out and turn to his father and said, what sins are you talking about? The father will look at me through his son. He won't see a sinner. He'll see somebody that's justified as if they never sinned. I've got a divine son, but I've got a divine gift. Jesus died on the cross to where I might go free. There's a divine son, a divine gift. And that gift is forgiveness of all of our sins. But then there's a divine plan that he said, whosoever will, they can be saved. I don't believe in this crowd. One is destined one place and another's another. I believe that God loves every person. If God doesn't love every person, we are the most foolish people in the world. But I'm glad I have the red and the yellow and the black and the white, the rich and the poor. I'm glad I can tell them God's got a plan, and that is the grace of God. If you'll come, God will save you by the grace of God. Amen. My first little church was in Atlanta, in Cabbagetown. And I'll never forget, I was there in 82, and a fella got saved. Well, he was a town drunk. And I walked in that morning, and I'd seen him in the gutter several times. And he said, Brother Vernon, I won't get saved. Well, he had gotten sick all over his shirt, and they brought him in and washed him up, and he got saved that morning. And somebody said, it'll not last with him. I said, fellas, if God got a hold of him, it'll do the job. I walked in that night. I didn't recognize him. He had been to the Salvation Army. He had gotten shaved, his hair combed and washed. He got a brand new clothes. And I walked in. He's on the front row. And I shook his hand. I said, I'm Brother Palmer. We're glad to have you here at the church tonight. He said, you don't recognize me. I said, no, sir. He said, I slept in the gutter last night, but I'm going to eat off the king's table tonight. I'm glad there's a God in heaven. He's got a divine love, and God loves the drunkard. God loves the harlot. God loves the depraved. God loves the down and out. I'm glad God can make a change in it. Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad he's got a divine gift. It's for every person. Amen. Well, that's almost too much to handle. That God will love us so much until he'd give us something that we don't deserve. I've never told this, but I feel it till today. When I was in grammar school, the principal had been through years of picking out students, and he had spanked them 3 times a week. And I was one of them he picked out that year. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'd get called to the office. And I was afraid to tell Daddy because I didn't know what I'd done. I even got to where I'd sit with the teachers, and at recess, I'd sit with them again. And boy, one day, about half in the year, over the intercom, he called me to the office. I saw walking up, and I said, well, I guess I'll get it again. I opened the door, and I said, Principal, what have I done? And I heard somebody in the back, and my daddy said, son, you ain't got to worry about him anymore. He'll never touch you again. Hey, I believe over 30 years ago in the old sanctuary of the Floor Road Baptist Church, the old devil was about to give it to me again. I heard a voice from heaven saying, son, if you'll choose me, I'll talk to him. I'm glad I chose him. Got saved by the grace of God. I'm glad he is in heaven to make intercession for whosoever we. I'm glad he loved me divinely. But then number two, I'm glad he loved me devotionally. In Romans chapter 8, verses number 38 and number 39, I'm glad Jesus said, there is no separation. I'm glad he said, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I never forget, Tracy and I, we always try to have a little garden. And several years ago, someone taught us how to can okra. Now, if you never canned okra, you're missing a blessing. Boy, that's good. And we got in there and cut it up and washed it. And I think we had to boil it, I believe. And we put it in them bottles and put it in that to water that was hot. And we set them out on the counter. And I went back and I sat down in my lazy chair, and all of a sudden I heard something go, amen. And I said, glory, hallelujah. I heard something else go pop. I said, praise the Lord. And Tracy said, why are you getting so happy? I said, because in 1973 at the old sanctuary of the Floor Road Baptist Church, I got saved and God popped me. Amen. He sealed me until the day of redemption, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. I'm saved. I'm sealed. And one of these days, I'll be delivered. Amen. I'll be delivered. I'm glad there's no separation. There's nothing or no one that can separate me from the love of Almighty God. Someone said, Brother Vernon, God loves me all the time. Yes, sir. I know God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. I know I can disappoint and break the heart of God, but we will not sway the love of God one ounce. God loves us, and when we're saved, we are part of the family of God, and there is no separation in the family of God. But then I'm glad there's no surrender. I'm glad God never gives up on me. There's no surrender. You've heard the story of a man visiting this person 67 times. And they asked him, said, why'd you visit him 67 times? He said, because he didn't get saved on the 66th time. I'm glad Jesus never gives up. Amen. I'm glad Jesus, there is no surrendering. Jesus will never. I had a couple in my office one year. And boy, they said, we're going to get a divorce. And boy, they was saying this and done this and this and done this. And boy, they was letting each other have it. And finally, I just stopped him and I said, sir, do you love her? And he said, you don't understand. I said, well, do you love her? And he said, I sure do. I asked, ma'am, do you love him? And she said, you don't understand. I said, no, ma'am, do you love him? And boy, God broke her heart and she said, I love him. And boy, they got up and hugged each other's neck. And they looked at each other and they said, why in the world was we fussing? I'm glad when Jesus saved me, he took my sin and threw him as far as the east is from the west. Threw him behind his back, put him in the sea of forgiveness. And if he's forgave me and forgot it, I ought to forgive myself and forget it. That's right. I'm glad there's no surrender. There's no separation. But then there's no stopping. He will never stop loving me. He will never stop supplying for me. He will never stop holding me up. There is no stopping Jesus. Just when you think you've hit bottom, he'll reach down and pick you up and dust you off and say, go again. Amen. There's no stopping Jesus Christ. Number three, not only does he love me divinely, devotionally, but he loves me demonstrationally. That is, every day he demonstrates his love for me. You see, he's my Savior. He was yesterday. He'll be my Savior today. And he'll be my Savior tomorrow. I pity this crowd that thinks they can lose what God has given you. Hey, I didn't get it. God gave it to me. It's a gift from God. And what God gives you is eternal. I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad he is my Savior. He loves me yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad he's my shepherd, in that the sheep know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. And sometimes I love to go to Gatlinburg, and we was in Pigeon Forge. And right in Pigeon Forge by the old grist mill, right across the street, they have a pottery house. And I walked in there, and this lady was on the pottery wheel about to start a new vessel. And I said, ma'am, would you explain to me everything you're doing? And she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes. She said, you sound like one. I don't know what that means. Well, I'm glad I sent her. And she said, I'll do it. And she took that clay and she put it down 3 or 4 times. And I said, ma'am, won't one time do? And she said, no, if I don't get it in the center of this wheel, I'll warp the vessel that I'm making. I said, glory to God, I got to get in the center of this wheel. And then she began, I said, ma'am, what are you going to make out of that? She said, whatever my heart's desire, I'm going to make out of it. God's not finished working on me yet, but whatever he's going to make is going to be pleasing to God himself. Amen. And then she began to get water and moisten that vessel. I said, ma'am, what's that for? She said, I'm tenderizing it. Woo! To where? I'm going to say, praise God. She said, to where when I form it, it won't mire or pray. I'm glad God tenderizes me in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep. God tenderizes me. I got up early the other night and I studied some and I turned the television and I'm gullible. And they had all of these infomercials on. And boy, I said, listen, I want to buy everything, made it sound so good. And finally they come on with this diet pill. Now Tracy's in her sleep. And they said, if you can't lose weight, it's not your fault. And I hollered, I said, Tracy, it's not my fault, amen. And they said, all you got to do is order this pill. And I said, Tracy, all I got to do is order them pills. Everything will be all right. And Tracy said, Berman, you can't order anything. The Visa's card is in here with me and you're not getting them. Amen. I'm saying to you this morning that that was a lie. That doesn't do the job. But when Jesus saves you, that does it completely. I'm glad that he's my shepherd. But then he's my satisfier. I'm glad that every need that Jesus satisfies. Then I'll close with this. He loves me directly, devotionally, demonstrationally. But I can't believe this. He loves me directly. He loves me directly. Brother Randy Clark said something. I've got to give him credit. Maybe you've heard it. I didn't. I'll never forget. He said, God loves us so wonderful that when he leaves the 99 and goes to that sheep that's gone astray, he makes you feel like you're the only sheep that he has. Now, boy, you're going to get that going home. You're going to tear your car up. I'm glad that God's love is so direct that God makes me feel sometimes like I'm the only sheep that he has. Well, I'm glad he loves me directly. I'm glad that he loves me. First of all, he sought me out. I'm glad that he sought me. When I was, Romans 5 said, in my sins, I'm glad that Jesus loved me when I was unlovable. Let's be honest this morning. I'm still unlovable. The only good thing about vermin, it's Jesus that lives in my heart. I'm glad that he sought me out. When I was in my sins, Jesus came to where I was. They used to sing a song, he came to me. He came to me. Number two, I'm glad that he scooped me up. Amen. The Bible said, you know, listen. There's a verse in the Old Testament that said, woe unto the man when he falleth, that he hath not a friend to help him up. And I heard this fellow say one time, he said, why shouldn't we kick them when they're down? They're closer to our feet. And I want to tell you, that's the average, our dear friend, attitude of the average Christian. Amen. But I'm glad when I am down, when I have fallen, when I get to the bottom, I'm glad there's a Savior that'll come and scoop me up and help me out to where I can march onward for Jesus again. I'm glad he scoops me up. Then I'll close with this. I'm glad he straightens me up when I go astray. You take a real Christian. They don't have to have many people tell them. There's the blessed Holy Spirit that lives in their heart. There was a man one time that put it like this. He said when God blessed him, it was like bees making honey in his soul. But one day he got out with a brother and he got in the pulpit. And he teared up and said, the bees are gone. He went and got things right. God straightened him up. And when he got back, he said, the bees are making honey again. I want to tell you something this morning. How can we say we love God when we don't love each other? Amen. Amen. You might not agree with me on everything. I might not agree with you. But I want to tell you something. You're my brother. Amen. And you're my sister in the Lord. And you mark it down. We need each other to march on. And I'm glad he straightens me up. I'm glad that he comes by the way and he says, Vermin, here's where you're wrong. But here's the way to get right. Sometimes I buck him. But thank the Lord for the times I humble under his voice. And I say, God, you're right. And I'm wrong. Our Father, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me. Father, as we have discovered in Isaiah 53, you're all of this to me and much more. And Father, I just can't believe that you loved me this much. You loved me so much, dear Lord, that you gave the most precious possession, that's your darling son, to where that I, an undeserving, totally depraved person, might go free. And I just want to tell you this morning, I love you. Even though I don't deserve it, I want to thank you for loving me and helping me in my time of need. In your name we pray. Amen.